Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. Dan, hello, how are you?
Good, not too bad.
You had a business contact in the car with you this morning who presumably you were trying to impress, and then you drove through Buttevant.
Yeah, there was two guys from Northern Italy, a technical engineer and a sales engineer, and we were driving from Cork to Shannon, and got into Buttevant, and it was a war zone. I just couldn't believe what I was after seeing.
Not a literal war zone, because we are talking about the aftermath of the Cahirmi horse fair yesterday, but how bad was it?
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. There was crap everywhere. And I mean, rubbish, trash, damaged cars, bins turned over, televisions, bags of trash. I've never witnessed anything like it in all my life.
All and, up and down the main street. Have you seen everywhere. The aftermath of a horse fair before?
I actually have, yeah. I have. And I suppose one of the biggest ones would have been in Ballinasloe, but it wasn't anything like that.
Indeed, and, I mean, Ballinasloe would be the biggest in the country. I think this one in Buttevant is about 2,000 people or so. But still, sorry, go back to it. Obviously, there's going to be a fair bit of horse manure wherever there's horses.
Yeah, and fair enough. But I've never seen a horse dumping a television on the side of the road. So there must have been a dozen televisions.
What?
Just thrown at general rubbish televisions, all sorts of discarded electronics. There must have been a million glass bottles around the place. And it wasn't just the horses that were leaving themselves on the street. There must have been more than 2,000 people there.
Had you the windows down or had you the aircon on? Was the smell?
It didn't matter. Like the two guys were asking me what was actually going on, and I suppose about halfway down through Buttevant, I kind of copped onto me then that there was actually a horse fair. And one guy asked me, and
so hang on a second. So what was your first explanation before you realised it was a horse fair?
I didn't know. I was like, what's going on? Like, did a rubbish truck or something turn over in the middle of the street and just get it blown all around? But I just didn't. It was early in the morning, and I was just wondering what was going on. It just clicked in. So it was probably the smell gave it away. It was like, oh yeah, there must have been a horse fair. And the guy said to me, there must have been a riot. And I said, well, I don't know.
You're not far off.
I didn't really want to talk about it to them, because
Were you able to explain it and give it any kind of context, or did they walk away, do you think? Were they getting on a plane in Shannon?
They were getting on a plane in Shannon. They were taking video clips of Buttevant on their iPhones.
Oh, no.
And I'm sure they're going to have a bit of a giggle at it when they get back to Italy. They're ordinary guys, they're overdoing a job, but somebody needs to build a ring road around that town if that kind of carry on is going to be going on once a year.
Sure, the cleanup is well underway now, and on the bright side, while your business contacts might not have been that impressed, I'm sure there was plenty of very, very good business done in the town on the day.
No, it's not even that. I don't think anybody this morning is saying, great, in 12 months' time, I'm looking forward to opening up my doors on the 15th of July or whatever it is and power washing my whole house down.
That bad?
That's the way it looked to me.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody in their right mind would say, that's what I want to do. Now I was laughing at it, and I was saying to the lads, we were trying to get Garrett Brooks over here for 5 concerts, and they were all cancelled. But you can get a couple of thousand people into a town in Cork or Limerick or wherever it is, and you can wreck it. And there seems to be no issue about it. I was just it's just quite...
It's an exercise in contradictions. It's a very, very good, very apposite comparison to make. Hang on the line there one second. Yep. Sean, good afternoon to you.
Yes, Philip, how are you?
So you clean it up, they dump again. You clean it up, they dump again. You clean it up, they dump again. You've got a bit of a circular thing going on here.
Yes, but peculiar enough, we're talking about Laytown Beach, a beautiful beach in East Meath. We wouldn't be too upset with the horses doing their thing on Laytown Beach. They're actually allowed to be there up to 11 o'clock in the day. But of course,
and you have a very famous race meeting there as well.
Close by, but we're in Gormanston, which is just a little bit farther up from Laytown. But the sea, of course, comes in and cleans our beach, and there isn't a great problem, and the horses are lovely to see on the beach. But the problem here is that we have a very active community. We clean the beach, 2 kilometres of Gormanston Beach, from the Neolithic tombs at Braymore down to a beautiful promontory called Ben Head.
And when you say you clean it, Sean, what are you picking up? What are you taking away? Just picnicking kind of litter left behind or more?
That type of litter, ordinarily. But we have a particular problem in recent months in that approximately once a month we have a truckload that's somewhere between 30 and 50 tyres being deposited on the beach. And this weekend took the extreme turn that we have a complete toilet bowl deposited at one of the entry points on the beach with various other human aspects
associated material.
Sorry?
Associated material that would go with a toilet bowl.
Shall we say. Much less acceptable than what the horses do. And anyway, it's at the entry point above any natural cleaning action by the seas. So what seems to be happening here is some intermediaries, shall we call them, be they official or unofficial, possibly earning a commercial benefit from doing this, seems to be using our volunteers who come, as I say, between 10 and 20 of them, typically every 2 weeks on a Monday and occasionally on a daily basis for small ad hoc cleaning. They keep this beach spotlessly clean, but somebody seems to be malicious enough and premeditated enough now
I can use their good services to clean all of this up. And I almost hesitate to ask you this question. Are you absorbing the cost of bringing stuff to landfill, or is the County Council doing that for you?
No, happily we're in an excellent partnership relationship with Meath County Council, who supply our gloves and our pickers and our black bags. And then we supply a vehicle and a trailer on the beach. The community does, different members of the community, and they collect up, deposit the volunteers over the 2 kilometre stretch.
You probably shouldn't say any more, though, Sean, because you're only tipping them off to how organised you are and how likely it is that you're going to continue to clean up after them. CCTV is the answer, though, isn't it?
Well, I don't mind telling them or advertising the fact, because it's come to the point now where we must challenge them. And we have an undertaking from the local Gardaí in Laytown that they will support us in that. And we have an undertaking from our partners in Meath County Council that the litter warden will be more vigilant, and we, the community, the active people involved, we intend not to lie under this. We intend to be more active in monitoring this, because it's not a case of a courting couple going to the beach. We're not interested in monitoring that, but it's not such a couple in a car who are carrying 30 to 50 tyres.
I know, Sean, but the point here is that with the best will in the world, what good can a litter warden do or a guard keeping a closer eye on things? Frankly, unless they're there full-time, and even if they are there full-time, all a truck bearing a whole load of used tyres in the back has to do is drive down to the beach, see that they're there and turn around, because that's not an offence. They'll have to actually be caught doing the dumping.
Well, that's the last point I'm making, Philip. I think there is an opportunity for large vans or trucks seen going to the beach. There's very limited access points to the beach. So any large truck or van going to the beach after dark is entitled to be inspected by the Gardaí. So I think we can become more vigilant. Uh-huh. We can introduce CCTV assistance. The Gardaí have promised assistance. So, I mean, I think the next truck or trucks who attempt to deposit 30 to 50 tyres on the beach are quite liable to be challenged.
In the meantime, you wouldn't consider going to Buttevant, would you?
I would have a great interest in going to see the horses in Butterfront, but I think the absurdity of the volunteer element, the community element in our particular situation is deserving of special attention.
It is, and you say, excuse me, that the County Council have your back now because, frankly, I mean, they're abusing your goodwill on some levels just as much as the litterers are, aren't they?
No, I think we have an excellent relationship with the County Council. I'd have to defend that. And they've been very supportive to us. And
yeah, but if they're content and happy to let you continue to clean up without putting in CCTV, without making the extra special measures or putting in place the extra special measures to prevent all of this happening, they are just using your goodwill.
I have every expectation that the Meath County Council will support us in the area of the CCTV, and certainly the locals who live at the three access points are fully motivated to participate in that, and I have every expectation that the Gardaí will engage in additional patrols. So, I mean, watch this space. I think we can do things together, those three groups.
Fair play. Dan, in the meantime, Ring Road for Butterfront.
They need to do something. Well, I, to be honest, look, it makes no odds to me. I was just a bit shocked that a town in modern Ireland can be trashed. Now, how long did it go on for? Like, was it 1 day or 2 days or 10 days? Who knows? I don't know. Like, I don't know Butterfront that well, but like, I just find it amazing that is there not a local committee or something that is in charge of this? Because
we need to hear from people from Butterfront on this, obviously, I've just seen here in the papers there's €1 million in cash changed hands yesterday or over the course of the day, it was anticipated, and 2,000 visitors drawn to the town. Now, I'd say there's an awful lot of people who are enthusiastic about that, but equally, you're right, there have to be those who don't feel quite the same way.
Well, look, something like that, if you want to buy and sell horses and all that, that's fine, but you know, I'm sorry, you know things have moved on from having animal fairs and marts in the middle of a street, which is the public and the most modern highway that we have between Cork and Limerick, which is probably an indictment of the government, but anyway, that's a whole other story.
Alec, good afternoon to you.
Hello, how are you doing?
You're from Ballymahon in Longford.
Absolutely, the very, very famous place. everybody, I say I'm from Ballymahon, they say, oh yeah, I passed through it. Nobody seems to stop on it.
But you had a fair in Ballymahon, which...
way back in the late 50s, early 60s, you would have had a fair on the street. And you couldn't get up the town. It was great. I'd wake up in the morning and hear the cattle. As a kid, you wouldn't know what the dates were, what the first month or whatever it was, but you'd wake up and you hear the cattle. It's like, great, don't have to go to school today. So it was brilliant from that point of view.
And did Ballymahon get a mart in later years that it moved off the streets?
I can't remember what year it got a mart. It did get a mart, all right. Yeah, you used to hear it on the radio there at the stage.
But up until the mart, I can only begin to imagine, with a couple of hundred cattle being traded up and down the course of the main street over the day, the clean-up must have been something else.
Oh, absolutely, completely. And there's a funny incident in relation to that. I feel like Paddy Crosby now. But what they used to do, it was a slurry, really, and used to be kind of hay and straw kind of brought in, kind of for whatever reason. But they used to make a little kind of a wall around it with the straw and hay, which would be kind of damp and wet, and then used to pond the slurry into the middle of it. So you used to have these little things like little mini forts up and down the street with pools of slurry in it. Unfortunately, one day a salesman or a traveller, as used to call them back then, came along in his car and stopped the car, opened the door, got out without looking, and his 2 feet ended up in the middle of one of these little pools of slurry, which I'm sure endeared him to his wife when he got home.
I'm sure it's the last thing you'd expect in Ballymahon or anywhere else should be a cesspit in the middle of the street when you step out of your car.
But all what right. You also got, just one other thing, what you used to have is we used to call the stannins, we used to call them at that stage, the stalls.
What's
on
that?
The street. There were stalls on the street. With all fairs come people who sell things.
Yeah.
And there'd be these stalls up and down the street selling anything and everything, you know, whatever, Delph and Tools and I don't know what, I don't remember particularly, but the gizmos were kids as well. They could be always at home looking for money, looking for a penny, as it was, to go up and buy something. So those were the days.
All right. Alec, thank you very much from Ballymahon, and Sean from Laytown or Gormanstown, and from, well, a long way from Buttevant now, Dan, thank you very much too.
1850 715 815.
Back to the summertime scourge of litter on beaches. Catherine, which beaches do you go for a walk on?
Out in Connemara. I go swimming out there. There's several beautiful small coves, but they're being absolutely destroyed with students that come down for the summer. They come down and drove to the beach and they leave all their litter after them. Bottles, cans, papers, everything. Just totally disgusting.
From Irish colleges or where are they?
Yes, yes. There's different Irish colleges. Groups of them come down. They can come down 40, 60 of them at a time, you know.
Presumably they have a teacher with them or a banshee or whatever.
Yes, they have. And I went after them and pointed it out and they picked up the litter after them. I can't understand why they don't bring a bag and get them to pick up their own litter, not leave it to the teachers. It's absolutely disgusting.
Not that it makes any odds whatsoever, but we are talking about Irish students and
yes, we are. Non-Irish
nationals. Okay.
Yes.
God, you'd think that kids would know better at this day and age, wouldn't you? Are there bins provided?
It's not only out there. You can go on any of the beaches near Salt Hill and up the coast, and it's the same. It's the youngsters. The litter that's left after is absolutely appalling. Now, I have been to Buttevant myself, and I have seen what happens down there as well.
After the horse fair?
It's absolutely disgraceful, yes. Disgraceful.
Do you know anybody from Buttevant, though? Do you know any of the traders, the retailers there? How do they feel about it?
No, I don't actually know anybody down there, you know. But I have been there several times. And
while the place might be a fright or a shock to look at today, have you any idea what it's going to be like now tomorrow? Is it all going to be tidied up as if it would never happened?
I hope so. Hmm. Because, I mean, it is the main road.
It is that. It is that indeed.
When you
tackle the teachers about kids taking away the litter, were they amenable to being taken to task by you?
Yes, they were. They listened and he just went ahead and started picking up the stuff himself. And I said, that defeats the purpose. Why don't you bring down a big bag and make them pick it up?
Indeed.
Why be a nursemaid to them?
All right. Well, fair play to you for taking them on.
No, it's really ridiculous. I mean, at one stage there was about six or eight youngsters sitting in a circle on the beach, and every one of them stood up and left all that on the beach after them. The plastic bottles, cans, papers, bags, you name it, plastic bags, everything.
It's not as if each and every single one of the schools that they're going to don't have recycling programs, that they don't get this beaten into them in a way that never was for the generations that had gone before. But somehow putting theory into practice seems to be a problem.
I was just amazed that the teachers were just going to walk off the beach until I ran after them. You know, I just couldn't believe it.
Well, like I say, fair play to
No, and for the people that, I mean, for the us locals, it's disgusting. Why should we have to go down and pick it all up?
No, you shouldn't have to. You absolutely shouldn't have to.
No, but I mean, a lot of that's been washed into the sea as well, you know. So it's affecting all the life in the sea as well.
Yeah. All right, Catherine, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
For Diana, good afternoon.
Hi, Philip. How are things?
Good. Not just beaches, you say, that are problems with litter spots.
Absolutely not. Not at all. I take my dog for a walk regularly down near the River Lee there in Enniscarry in County Cork. And there is a particular place there that very regularly you see loads of dumped left litter, as in the normal cans, bottles, plastic bags, dirty nappies, undies, socks, clothing of various natures. But I was absolutely gobsmacked there about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I went down there. There were quite a few people in the area that had, some of them had a couple of these Aldi version pop-up tent things, and there were kids running around the place, and it was fine. And I was expecting, I said hello to one or two of them there. There was adults there as well, and I got a nice hello and good day back and everything. And the following morning, I was down there again with the dog, and I was expecting the place to be actually covered with litter like it normally would be. And there wasn't a huge amount there. And I was thinking, okay, this is good. Maybe people are wising up. And then whatever way I looked, I saw what looked like some a bit of a sheet or something that was in some brambles. And I actually pulled out of the brambles a couple of sheets, a duvet cover, and one or two pillows.
Huh?
Exactly. And I couldn't believe it. And they, you know, the smell you get from clothing when it's fairly clean and recently washed? I actually got that smell from it, as in, this stuff was fairly clean.
Well-aired, well-laundered, clean linen.
Yeah.
And duvets, not just duvet covers, duvets.
A duvet, a 10-tog single polyester duvet that you can pick up in Dunn's and whatever. It was actually Dunn's version, which you can pick up
for
about 10.
Thank you very much,
euro.
Says Diana. Folds that up, tucks it under her arm and takes it home with her, no?
You're telling me I did.
Well done.
And I actually, it was when I thought, well, with the best friend in the world, I'm going to wash some of this stuff. My husband was mortified. He was walking ahead of me saying, I don't know her. And there was me with a big bundle of clothes.
Can you wear the duvet cover over your head as a burqa, please, so that the neighbours don't recognise you, Diana?
I think my husband will want to do it for himself to pretend that he wasn't associated with it. But I actually brought it home, and when I investigated it, when I looked at it, I mean, it was very clean. I mean, there was nothing wrong with that. So I put a couple of them on. I put some of it on to wash, but there were one or two kind of tiny little cigarette holes in the sheets. But it was still perfect. I mean, there was nothing wrong with it apart from this.
Good Lord.
And I found out afterwards that one of the reasons why the place wasn't covered in regular litter was because there is a person in the locale that goes out every morning to collect the rubbish that people leave behind them. And, I mean, we go to Malta quite regularly, maybe once a year, once every 2 years, and we've got friends out in Malta. And we were there about 2 or 3 years ago. It was around about Easter time, and there was one big disused airfield that had been being used as a communal ground for a particular celebration gathering, where you had representation. You have people from all over the island, or in the area anyway, came there. You could have had, in this big airfield, you could have had a few thousand people, like family groups, and they were flying kites, and there was dogs, and there was kids, and football, and there was barbecues and everything. Went back there the following day, there wasn't one bit of litter in there.
You'd eat your dinner off it, or
totally.
dry your laundry on it, or whatever.
Exactly, or wash your bedclothes in it.
Was it a single duvet or a double duvet you picked up?
Single.
Do you know, I bought one of those in Dunn stores not too long ago, and I think it was somewhere in the region of €30.
Well, this is definitely Dunn's, and I have priced single duvets in Dunn's, and they're not that expensive. It was the following day. I think I went in, and I saw a 10.5-tog single polyester duvet. I think it wasn't more than about €15. It was quite reasonable. So,
but still, had these people gone camping with their pop-up tent and bought a duvet? Do you think?
No idea. I have no idea. I mean, the duvet looked perfectly clean. It looked almost brand new.
It's a disposable culture we're living in, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can spend 15 or 20 euro on getting stuff, and why take it home and wash it when you have to go through the expense of washing and ironing and all that, when you can just leave it there and spend another 10 or 15 euro?
Because there's people
the
like Diana Cassidy in this world who has to embarrass her husband out walking the dogs. That's why. And what better way to do it?
But I tell you what, the number of pairs of white socks I've picked up off these things are...
Well, here we're parting company now. You're picking up other people's underwear, and you're bringing that home too.
Well, I bring the socks home to wash them, to use them for the dog to use as a plaything.
Okay.
I'm not that bad for the fairness. And I did bring back a pair of clean-looking shorts at one stage that I washed and actually sent into a charity shop. So I didn't wash them beforehand. They look clean.
I'm beginning to side with your husband here. What else have you picked up?
What else have I picked up that people have dumped? Well, I have picked up cans and bottles, and I have picked up plastic bags.
Not for personal collection, for the bin?
No, for disposal. No, in fairness, no. Only if it's in good, clean condition would I even think of doing anything seriously with it. Otherwise, it gets binned.
Well,
and I have been known to bin socks as well, believe me.
Fair play to you. Waste not, want not, Diana. Thank you very much for your call.
Not a bother, Philip.
1850 715 815.
We've had an awful lot of calls, and this is something that we're going to have to come back to again later on in the week. Some really, really interesting stuff arising out of the Radio 1 World War 1 roadshow that was co-hosted with Trinity College and the National Library of Ireland, and some really fascinating, fascinating artefacts that have been brought in that really bring that period 100 years ago to life. You can read about it on the page, but there is absolutely nothing that beats holding the medals and the little food boxes and parcels and so on. All of those bits and pieces that, well, help us remember, lest we not forget, as they say. We will come back to that. But Simon, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hi, Philip. How are you?
You travel through Buttevant quite a lot.
I do. Funny enough, I've forgotten the name of the gentleman on earlier who was struck by the mess of the place after the horse fair.
Dan.
I had a similar experience last year, the year before. It really is an outer world sort of thing. But he mentioned...
he was describing absolute carnage, not just horse manure all over the place, but several dumped televisions, number plates torn off the cars, litter strewn absolutely everywhere. Armageddon was the word that he used. Was this year just particularly bad, or is that what you've seen last year or the year before?
No, I saw it. Did you see that movie Elysium? You know, the sort of mess, the sort of favela, sort of, in a word, disgusting. I mean, there is no other word for it. And I don't think it does anyone proud to see that sort of mess, and it must be tough cleaning it up. The man mentioned, though, it really should just give the place a bypass and get past it, which led me to get on to say that I think that really what the bigger picture is that we get the M20 motorway between Cork and Limerick done, because I think that's been a bit of a stop-start process. And
indeed.
Were that the case, then some place like Buttevant would be probably paying a lot more attention to its image and worrying about visitors and generating visitors. At the moment, it's probably is sick of the traffic going through the town.
Because it is still a deceptively long drive, Cork to Limerick. You don't think that it should take you as long as it does, but invariably you encounter a tailback or two.
Yeah, but I mean, the other thing too is that, I mean, you know, it's tough for the farmers who live along the route. I mean, some of them can be pretty, oblivious to. I think there's some rule, the law is you can't have more than 7 cars head tail behind you, then you must pull in. Not many seem to know about that. I'll remark one thing. I drive frequently from West Cork to Limerick and back again, and I go up and turn off at Charleville. And the time from here to Charleville is precisely 2 hours. It never changes, regardless of what the traffic is like. You know, it all evens out over time. And that's an average speed of 45 miles an hour. I know it's in miles, but I remember that. After that, the time drops, unless you're, you know, doing it sort of early in the morning or very late at night. So the and what I'm trying to say is that the average speed on the road between Cork and Limerick is less than the average speed on the road between say Cork and Charleville and Macroom, and that seems to be to be crazy.
Back to the litter in Buttevant though, Kevin. Good afternoon.
Hello.
You saw the litter in Buttevant this morning.
I did indeed at 8:30, 9 o'clock this morning. Now they've started to clean it up at that stage now. The JCB, six or seven blokes in private beds.
Sorry, a JCB? You're not just talking about people out with black plastic bags. It took a JCB to do the job?
Well, six or seven kids in the high-vis vests were just a JCB, and they were loading into the bucket of it, like, you know.
Do you think that all of the litter was generated by the horse fair yesterday, or might there be some people being a little bit opportunistic?
Yeah, I'd say that, like, they took advantage there of some people, I think, yeah. Yeah.
Judging by the look of the waste.
Yeah. I only seen the one TV, and that was at one end of the street. It wasn't at the chapel end. It was at the Cork end, which are but it was Tuesday. I never seen so much rubbish in my life.
Indeed, sounds like an insane amount of rubbish. Micheál, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Philip. How
What's your point?
Well, my point, I was on the Bannisloe Town Council here for a while, a couple of years ago, just finished. And I tried to bring up, I tried to put in a motion, and I got no support to have all drink cans and that, to make them returnable. And I couldn't even get a seconder for the motion. And as you see, even here around Bannisloe, you see down around the marina and that, and on the channels, empty beer cans and coke cans, etc., etc. You know.
And are you talking about after the horse fair, or are you talking about all year round?
All year round, basically, yeah.
And when you say returnable, do you mean refundable, that there would be a small sum?
Yeah, a small gratuity for bringing back, like when we were children, you brought back your Coke bottles and beer bottles and that. And we'd keep, like if they were worth 10 or 20 cents, it would make a great difference to the countryside. And plus, it wouldn't, there wouldn't be polluting the rivers and the side roads and that around the country.
10 or 20 cents is probably about 10 or 20 times what the can is worth in the first place. So the economics of scale, the economies of scale wouldn't add up there necessarily. But you say you got absolutely no support for the idea whatsoever?
Absolutely not, no. Couldn't even get a seconder there about a year ago. No. And if you look at along the, when the water, when the...
What did they tell you? Sorry, Micheál, to interrupt you, but why would they not support you? Did anybody tell you?
Oh, no, just didn't want to. And like, once it's not seconded, your motion isn't seconded, it's not discussed. You can't say it. You know, no, I didn't bring it up under any of the business and explain it. But no, and it just seems to be like the habit in Germany where all these cans and that are recycled. You see it in America where the cans are returnable and that, and there's a bounty paid in them.
Tell me about the difference between, what may or may not be going on, but the difference between Buttevant and Ballinasloe as regards the horse fair. Would you say the majority of the population in Ballinasloe favours the horse fair?
Oh, yeah, it's been here for a long, long time. But there are problems with it, and I think hopefully the local authorities now and everything else in the Gardaí will get on top of it eventually. You know, with like a lot of life in Ballinasloe, a lot of people kind of, you know, would be nervous going into town, traffic problems. Also, in some estates where the parking is totally unrestricted. Now, that has been fixed a small bit, but there was occasions when people couldn't even get out the driveways of their homes, you know, and the front garden were used as... toilets, etc., you know.
All right, Micheál, thank you very much for your call. Now, I have to say, before the programme is over, I have another break I have to take now, but before the programme is over, I am particularly curious as to what's the condition Buttevant is in now, because all of the descriptions that we've had have been from 7:30, 8 o'clock this morning. Is there anybody in Buttevant who could call us before 3 o'clock, please, and tell us how is the town right now?
1850 715 815.
Hugh, good afternoon.
How are you?
You drove through Buttevant this morning.
Yeah, I went through it there this morning. There, I'd say, at about half past eight. And
is it as bad as everybody's been saying?
Look, it was pretty bad, all right. Like, there was a lot of cardboard. There was obviously a lot of stuff there that you'd associate with horses, you know, hay, straw, probably their droppings, things like that, like, you know. And it was looking pretty, I wouldn't say pretty rough, but you'd know that there was definitely a horse fair there, all right, like, you know. But I came back through the village again at around maybe half past two, heading back down to Cork, and the transformation in the place, I have to say, was phenomenal, you know, in fairness to the guys there that are doing the clear up there. Very little cardboard left in the place, I'd say, you know. They had an awful lot of all the dirt and stuff had been washed up and cleaned up and all of that, you know. So
washed up, I mean, because people were complaining about the smell as well as you drove through the place.
Well, I mean, I knew drove through it, like, and I drive through the village now on a fairly regular basis, you know. So, like, what was there this morning was pretty unique, and unique to what was going on there yesterday, I'd say, you know.
All right. Well, anyway, all has been restored and they've been out with the power hoses and the JCBs.
And anything, on a little lighter note, I'd say, if anything, it was probably easier to drive through the village there this morning, because the condition of the road going up the main street in Buttevant there, like, is very, very poor, you know. And I'd say all the straw and droppings and all the stuff there
was filling in the holes.
Filling in the holes. So if the council are looking for a solution to fix the road there...
Come on now. Are you serious? Horse manure filling potholes. Horse manure is not particularly firm in texture. I can't believe that we're having this conversation.
It cushioned it this morning anyway.
Maybe it was the smell had you floating so high over the main street.
Well, I come from rural background, so that smell wouldn't
good farming
affect me
stock.
At all,
No, and let's be honest about it. Horse manure, of all of the various forms of manure and slurry, horse manure is probably the least offensive.
Smelling, like, yeah. But no, look, in fairness to the people that are working there today, like, you know, give them due credit there. Like, the transformation in the village there, like, in the space of, what, 5-6 hours? Phenomenal.
Indeed, indeed. And it probably means an awful lot to the people of the village. I mean, we're talking about...
I've no doubt.
Some were speculating €1 million.
Yeah, they probably take a bit of pride in it too as well, you know, to be fair to them, you know, so...
All right,
Hugh, then. Have a nice day.
Anyway, thank you very much. Credit where it is due, says Hugh, to all of the people of Buttevant who have been out with their JCBs and their power hoses, and they've gotten rid of everything. And maybe indeed horse manure and straw is a new and a novel form of pothole filling that is going to have to be investigated by the council. I can't say too intensely or too closely, though. That is all that we have for you today. The programme was produced by Angus McAnally. BCO was Laura Lee Davis. Kieran Dunn was on sound, and research was by Ailish O'Shea. We'll be back with you at exactly the same time tomorrow, 1:45. Until then, good afternoon. Thanks very much for listening.